Hello and welcome into the Locked On Wolves podcast. We are live on the postcast following the Timberwolves win over the Phoenix Suns. Marty Gellner of Valley Sports North joins the show to break down the game. The Locked On Wolves postcast starts right now.
You are Locked On Wolves postcast, part of Locked On Sports Minnesota, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. I'm joined with Marty Gellner of Valley Sports North. We're going to break down the Wolves' win over the Suns. And Marty, this thing ended up being way closer than it should have been, but a win is a win is a win.
We're going to have to take that as a bottom line. Yeah, that fourth quarter took, it felt like an hour for that thing to get over. And the free throws and the Monty Williams timeouts, but I mean, Phoenix was not going away. And I mean, I guess you can credit the Suns for kind of pushing that and forcing that and continuing to make this a game. Or you could be disappointed that the Timberwolves weren't able to just shut the door on this team and coast to a win. But they got there. It wasn't pretty. It took 15 minutes longer than it probably should have. But Chris Finch was kind of taking that attitude in the post game, in his post game press conference, just like, it was fine. I thought we played well. I think you said we played well for 80% of the game, and we got a win, and that's what we'll take out of here.
Yeah, I mean, that's about right. Like, they did play extremely well in the first half. The first quarter, they were fantastic. The Wolves dominated points in the paint early in this game. They were extremely aggressive in the first half. It was like straight-line drive after straight-line drive, getting to the rim whenever they wanted. It was kind of like there was a lot of the pass-pass drive stuff that you want to see on the offensive end of the floor. They didn't get to the line a ton, but they got into the paint. They made a lot of short jumpers. And Torian Prince, D'Angelo Russell early in the game, all that stuff was really, really positive for the first quarter and really through the first half. And then the ball movement a little bit dried up. It got a little bit sloppy, but there were certainly some positives early in the game.
There were positives for sure, no doubt. And that was one of the things I think you had to be looking for as a fan, given the way things went in Houston, being down by 20 points in the first half, the way things went in Detroit, obviously losing that game. So you're looking for, one of the things you're looking for is that this team comes out better, has a better start, comes out ready to play. And I felt like you could tell in the first half that this was a game they were serious about. This game they were buckled down for, and you could tell it in the score and just the energy, and they weren't able to sustain that all the way through. But I mean, we're going to pick this thing apart. Which end do you want? So it was a better start. And that was kind of crossing one thing off the list to be better at tonight against another below 500 team. And the Wolves were, they had a good first half.
Yeah. The most interesting thing to me is in the first half of this game, the Wolves led the Suns in points in the paint, 36-18. They shot 56% from the field. Torian Prince had 11 in the first half. And they only gave up one free throw attempt to the Suns, which I think had as much to do with the Suns' kind of lack of aggressiveness offensively themselves. And we could talk about where the Suns finished the game in terms of free throw attempts in a minute. But for the Wolves offensively, this is a game Rudy Gobert didn't have a shot attempt in the first half. He finished with one shot attempt. We can talk more about him too. But the Wolves had 36 points in the paint in the first half without Rudy Gobert scoring. And it was just a lot of just guys, like we said, getting into the paint, being aggressive, attacking. And that kind of set up everything else for the Wolves. They weren't exactly flamethrowers from outside the arc in this game, but it was a type of kind of, like you said, they were locked in early in this game. It felt like they really did want to be there and they wanted to beat this team. They knew the Suns were shorthanded. They actually came out ready to go. And I think the points of the paint were a pretty good indicator of that.
It's 64 for the game, 64 paint points, and Rudy Gobert had two of them. He had one basket. He finished 1-for-1. He had 4 points, but two of them were at the free throw line. So to get 64 paint points when your 7'2" center is only responsible for two of those, that's pretty good if you're wanting your team to be aggressive and to get to the basket and do all those things that are sort of indicative of a team that's really physical and playing that type of basketball. That's what the Wolves were doing tonight. They had 62 paint points that didn't belong to Rudy Gobert in this game. That's pretty significant for a team that doesn't have Karl Anthony Towns either. That would be your second big. Naz Reid had 13, so he was pretty good. I'm just thinking of guys that you're typically seeing in the paint, but for not having Rudy, that tells you that guys were pretty adamant on getting to the hoop.
Yeah, and let's stay on Gobert for a minute. The Suns did a really good job on Rudy. They were really kind of putting a body on him at all times, on both ends of the floor, too, on the glass. Rudy ended up with double figures in rebounding, but he only had the one shot attempt. He only had 4 points total in this game. And DeAndre Ayton was really good, but the Suns were kind of just almost bracketing him in a way, like we've seen teams do to Karl Anthony Towns in the past to try and deny him a catch in the post. And they were just trying to basically dare the Wolves. They were doing the thing that we saw so often happen to the Jazz last year. They were fronting him with the smaller player. The Wolves guards were just not confident enough or able to get him the ball down low. And it ultimately didn't matter. They won the game and they scored 121 points. So they had, you know, high 60s in the first half. But it just kind of is a continuing issue where teams are able to take Gobert out of the game. And in theory, if you play well, you know, if he's taking that much attention away from the rest of the team, especially when Towns is on the floor, the way this team is built, that shouldn't really be an issue. But it becomes more glaring when Towns isn't on the floor and occasionally the offense sputters. But I thought the Suns had a pretty good plan for Gobert in this one.
They did. And Chris Finch, after the game, talked about that he feels like the Timberwolves, when they find Rudy Gobert in the flow of the offense, that's when he is at his best. And he said sometimes it's not there. And he didn't think that Rudy only having one official shot attempt in this game was a problem at all, because he didn't feel like those looks were there in the flow of the game and that the Wolves were just missing them. He even pointed out, Finch did, that towards the end of the game, the Wolves started trying to get the ball into him and he didn't feel like that was the right time. The openings weren't there. It wasn't within the flow. And so he just said this was one of those games where Phoenix was playing him exactly like you talked about, Ben, just throwing extra bodies at him or being super physical with him, having someone tied to him almost all the time. And so the Wolves didn't force it in there. Finch had no problem with that whatsoever, would rather like see that offense come naturally when it sort of just flows into Rudy. Tonight it did not, and they didn't seem to have an issue with it at all, even though you'd like to see him with more than one shot attempt for sure, but also not force it. So there's kind of that fine balance between those two.
Yeah, today's episode is brought to us by our friends at BetOnline. BetOnline.net is your number one source for sports betting info, stats, news, and analysis. Get the latest odds and trends for every pro and amateur league out there, from pro football to really all college sports, college basketball, of course, in the middle of conference play right now. Any sport that you follow, you can find on BetOnline. They've got it all at BetOnline.net. If you love sports podcasts, you can even find those at BetOnline as well. We're always the fastest and easiest way to get your betting info. You can head to their website today or use your mobile device to learn more. Bet online, where the game starts.
I feel like Damian Lee looked at that bet online.
Yeah. Yes. I love
the game. And then he hit that three at the buzzer and covered for Vegas.
I love the call too. At the end, that was good from Grady. That was really good.
Yeah.
It was kind of, it was almost like Al Michaels, just kind of being very aware of what's going on.
Correct. Correct.
Yeah. I thought that was good.
A lot of people watching the game were also very aware.
Yes.
Of what was going on.
Yes. So we talked about the Wolves getting up big, and then, you know, they get up in the third quarter, they're up by as many as 23, actually, I think 24. And then things got a little bit sloppy. It was kind of a lineup that was mostly bench guys. Anthony Edwards and Jaden McDaniels were on the floor. And I want to talk about McDaniels next, because I thought he had a great game. But that particular lineup really got sloppy. And Ant had a couple of consecutive turnovers that were pretty bad. Actually, I think that was in the fourth when Ant had those turnovers. But there were a couple of these different like runs that the Suns made, where they got it down to 12, and then the Wolves pushed it back up to 22 early in the fourth, and then it got back down to 10 with 7 minutes to play. And I think it was mostly a sloppiness with the ball. It was a little bit less aggressiveness offensively. And then defensively, the Suns just got to the line over and over. They had 23 free throw attempts in the second half of this game. But the Wolves made matters worse by being sloppy themselves offensively.
Yeah, I don't think you want to print this one and send the second half off to any sort of basketball museum. Because I made a note of that too at halftime, that Phoenix was 1 of 1 from the free throw line. I mean, that is unheard of in the NBA. But then to finish the game with 24 attempts, it tells you they also addressed it at halftime. They did something different at halftime. And it was part of the reason that they got back into this. They just kept pushing. They were the physical team. The Timberwolves had 20 free throw attempts, but for a while I made a note to make sure to check the total free throw attempts for this game and see how low it ranked in the NBA this season. And by mid fourth quarter, I'm scratching that one out. It it didn't even apply. But yeah, it was stunning for the first half.
Yeah, and there just wasn't a lot of defensive resistance, and the Suns were happy to shoot jumpers. And actually, a big reason for that, I thought, was Jaden McDaniels. This was a really good Jaden McDaniels game. We've seen more of these. They're becoming more frequent. He really challenged or did a great job challenging the Suns' wings and guards. He guarded, it felt like everybody in the Suns' backcourt. He was switching all over the place, was good throughout. His length really bothered the Suns in their attempts to drive and to get off jumpers. Phoenix ended up shooting the ball extremely well from beyond the arc. But they do that, and really they weren't able to get anything else going, at least in the first half, until they eventually got to the line. McDaniels also avoided getting into foul trouble in this game, and it was the rare game in which he was able to play. What did he play, like 36 minutes? He was second on the Timberwolves in minutes to Anthony Edwards. And it feels like when he's able to play more and doesn't get into foul trouble, the Wolves tend to play better. Maybe it's no surprise because he's the best probably all-around perimeter defender at least, but this was a good McDaniels game.
It was, and he hit that sweet spot of at least X number of field goals attempted or X number of field goals made or X number of points, whatever the label you want to give it. When Jaden McDaniels contributes offensively, the Timberwolves team generally is very good. And tonight was a good solid 14 points on 5 of 10 shooting, plus 5 rebounds, 6 assists for McDaniels.
Yeah.
And the defense, I feel like anytime he gives you a little something extra, like he has a really good rebounding night. The other night he had I think 9 in Houston, maybe a season high. And even just that, it's like, wow, that's so much McDaniels, because he already gives you such good defense. You get one other area from him, it's such a bonus. And then tonight you get the 5 rebounds, the 6 assists, the 14 points. He just lifted you up in every area and, as always, played that good defense. Jim Peterson was talking a lot about the way McDaniels gets through screens, and not just tonight, but has all season. And then the website he found that measures that and put McDaniels like at the top of the list in the NBA. I mean, that's in some really good, impressive company. And you don't see that highlighted anywhere. You're not going to turn on any sports highlight shows and see, look at this guy getting through a screen. Right. It's just not, very appealing, but it's so necessary. And it's super valuable. And that's something that Jaden McDaniels does on a regular basis for this team.
Yeah. And it's something I want to cover on Locked On Wolves some point here soon is what, like, what's McDaniels' comp right now? A player that we've seen in the past decade in the NBA. He's such an interesting player because he's defense first, and the offense isn't really hardly ever dynamic. I mean, he scored over 20 points, what, I think twice this year, maybe 3 times. But then he has these bursts, like assists. He's had at least 3 assists in every game but one over the last, I think, 8 games. Block shots, steals. Like, he does a little bit of everything. And if he can find some of this consistency, I think it's really fascinating to see what kind of a player he really could be for the Wolves. Last thing, the Wolves bench in this game was actually pretty good. Torian Prince, we talked about him. He was fantastic, especially in the first half. Naz Reid was really good too. Austin Rivers and Jalen Noel each had some moments. Both of them have been kind of up and down of late. But I thought for the most part, against a shorthanded team, you needed to have a good bench performance. And I thought the Wolves bench was pretty good in this game.
Yeah, 45 points for the Timberwolves bench. TP, you mentioned with the 16 points, he had 11 at halftime. It was a season high for any half for Prince this season. I just felt like he was locked in from the beginning. It was kind of like he was showing his leadership and like this, hey, we take this game seriously. I'm going to show you how serious I am. Follow my lead here. And we talked on this podcast already about the good quality first half that the Wolves had and kind of setting that tone of urgency and this is business and this is a really important game. And Torian Prince was a big part of that. 11 points in the first half, 16 for the game. So he was in double figures. Naz Reid had 13 off the bench. To get 45 points from your bench when you only played 4 guys as reserves, that's good production.
Yeah, now the Timberwolves turn around to do it again in now less than 24 hours against Cleveland on Saturday. Ricky Rubio played in his first game in over a year last night on Thursday night. So hopefully he plays Saturday. I think Target Center would like to see Rubio play. But Cleveland Saturday, Utah Monday, that's a matinee. That's what we have on tap. Any final thoughts on this one, Marnie?
Cleveland's going to be tough, no doubt. But this team gets up for tough games. So maybe seeing Donovan Mitchell in town and welcoming Ricky Rubio back is just what the Wolves need to have a game where they up the level a little bit. Because tonight they did beat Phoenix, but they kind of just played well enough to beat Phoenix. They won by 5. So I think we'd all like to see him turn it up again and kind of connect with that rhythm and that energy where it looks like it's just really rolling. We haven't had one of those games, I don't think, in a handful. So let's try to have one of those tomorrow. It'd be a great time for it against Cleveland.
Yeah, nice little 3-game homestand against 3 pretty good teams. I think that would be a really good response. And, you know, there were 3 guys that were questionable on Friday night. They all played. Fingers crossed that they're in good shape on Saturday to play on the second night of a back-to-back, but we'll see. A big thank you for listening. A big thank you for watching to the Locked On Wolves postcast. We go live after every Timberwolves game on the Locked On Sports Minnesota YouTube page. You can subscribe to that YouTube page to watch this show, be notified when we go live. You can also listen to the show after the fact on the Locked On Wolves audio feeds, wherever you listen to podcasts. A big thank you for listening. A big thank you for watching. And we'll catch you next time.
I'm working.